today on Compassion Radio.
Listening to someone's story is a risky thing because we run the risk of learning to love them. And if that happens, then of course we have to change.
Yeah.
Because if we've been fearful, if we have been bitter, if we have been hatred-filled, when we hear someone else's story and we actually allow it to exist, that what they have to say has the validity of being said. It came from another human being. And we acknowledge that, then we have to adjust our frame of reference at least a little bit.
And what's interesting added to that is we might then get persecuted by our own people.
Yes, and we do.
Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. When you hear the name Palestine, what comes to mind? For a lot of people, that name evokes nothing but images of violence, terrorism, and turmoil. But on today's broadcast, Bram's guest Sammy Awad will set the record straight about the untold number of devout Christians living in that tumultuous land. This is Frank Montenegro inviting you to join us for the second half of that conversation. Here's Bram.
We're back with Sammy Awad today. Welcome back to Compassion Radio.
It's wonderful to be back.
Sammy, you took us deep into the weeds here about the issues of peacemaking and why God calls us to this in this generation. And you have the right to speak to this issue because you live at the crux, it seems, of the world's biggest spiritual and military hotspots on the planet. You live in Bethlehem, just minutes walk from the wall that separates Israel from the Palestinian territories. And the cradle of Christianity. And your family history goes back almost 1,000 years that you can count living as a Christian community. And you have, as you said before, more Jewish blood flowing through your Palestinian veins than most Jews who are committed to the state of Israel or to Zionism. So you feel your place in your rootedness there. But you also know that you are a living stone and you are trying to help build other living stones in this kingdom to take on the task of being peacemakers in this century, of carrying forward God's plan for his church, his body, and the redemption of the whole world because of it. But you're not doing it through what we would consider traditional evangelism or preaching. You teach first how to live it. I'm in full agreement that this is at the core of what it means to be a witness for Jesus. We have to live it or the words don't match up with the practice. As we encourage people to pray about going to the Holy Land, I always say, if you're going to go, don't just look at stones. Meet the living stones while you're there.
Exactly.
Because God's got them. Tell me what it's like to go into a community representing Jesus and also celebrating those who don't believe like you and finding Jesus in the middle of all that.
Well, again and again, we have to go back to learning from Jesus and how Jesus lived his life. And this is exactly what Jesus did. And until we have the courage to do it, I think we're missing out on great opportunities to bring Jesus into these people. We have completely shut our doors and made the preconditions on anybody that we want to meet, that we will not meet with them, we will not engage with them, we will not listen to them unless 1, 2, 3. And if they take one step further that is not even close to what we want from them, we even shut down and marginalize them more. And I don't know if it's a Western thing, this sort of like dualistic mindset. It's the either or. Either you are this or that. Either you are pro this or pro that.
Right.
And that doesn't exist in our Eastern and Middle Eastern cultures. There's a different dynamic in how we relate and how we engage with each other. The church, I would say, has survived for 2,000 years in the Middle East, not because of its strength and its power. It is because it was being able to accommodate and to open its doors and to be a shelter and a safe haven for those even who were persecuted by others, even those who are perceived as the enemy of the church itself. And it's not about power. Do I surrender power to them or not surrender power to them? It's about the word surviving. It's about Jesus surviving, Jesus being lived out. So for me, there are beautiful traditions, beautiful religions, beautiful experiences in the Middle East itself. And Jesus, again, met with those people who were the most marginalized, who were looked at by the synagogues, by the leadership at that time, by his own community as the ones that are what we would call even the untouchables.
Mm-hmm.
If it was the woman who came and put perfume on his feet, you know, the response of what even his own disciples said, how dare you? Sit with somebody like that. How dare you allow some? And of course, we get this all the time now.
Right.
The church is, how dare you sit with these people? Ah, wait a minute.
How dare you sing songs like that in church?
Yeah. How dare you invite those people into your home? How dare you do this? How dare you do this? And it breaks my heart actually to see this is what we have become. We have become what actually Jesus was saying not to become when he was in his ministry here. And we've become the institution. We've become the establishment. We've become the ones that are determining what is right and what is wrong and who is in and who is out. When Jesus said, open up your doors to everybody. Do not leave anybody outside. And I believe, again, when Jesus walked into the temple on Palm Sunday, people told him to, you know, let these people be quiet. And he said, the stones will cry out if these people are quiet. We are seeing stones cry out now.
Yeah.
We're seeing people cry out for him that would have never in the past, that we do not even suspect that they would ever cry out. So when the church is quiet, the message doesn't die. There are people that will continue to carry that message. And these are the people that we have in the past rejected. They will and might become the next cornerstone for
this. You've done a good job, Sammy, over the years of quietly introducing faithful followers of Jesus in the West to those who are quietly and faithfully following Jesus in the East. And it brought them together in the same literal space and said, know each other because this is the thing that you're inheriting. This is the kingdom that you will be in and be part of for eternity. Better to celebrate that now and not miss out in this lifetime. And you bring them to places where interesting things are happening with faithful believers caught literally in the crossfire. So give me an example story of what it's like to live out Jesus in the middle of conflict, like you often have to do there in Bethlehem.
I think the greatest and the most challenging thing we have to do when we live out Jesus is to make sure that our hearts are pure continuously in how we relate to the other. I've sat with people that have threatened to kill me. I'll give you an example. I sat with a Jewish Israeli settler. And I've been working 2 years to get a meeting with him because he is very radical and he is seen as one of the most extreme ones. And I really believe if you touch the hearts of the most radical and change them, that is where the transformation happens for the rest of the community. But we don't like to make peace with our enemies. We only like to make peace with our friends. And as soon as I sat with him on a table, he started doing a square around his face and just looking, staring straight into my eye.
So you're pointing back at your face like you're trying to frame yourself.
That's what he was doing. His finger was on his face and he was framing his face. And he says, listen, Awad, you see this face? This is the face of the most radical, extreme settler you will ever meet in your life. I have killed people like you. I have ordered the killing of people like you. That was his introduction.
More coffee?
I said, you can call me Sammy. You don't have to call me Awad, which is my family name. And we started a conversation. And he wanted to know why, as a Palestinian, I wanted to meet him. And I said, there's only one thing. I want to listen to you. I want to hear your story. I don't want to hear what other people say about you. I don't even want to hear what your own people say about you. Who are you? And for me, that created a journey with this person. Now he is actually involved in an interfaith dialogue we're doing between Muslims and Jews that is bringing even voices of radicals into a conversation that they would not have met before.
Now, I understand this to be a genuine peacemaking exercise because you have to hear, even if you never agree, you have to hear for anything to change in you or in the other person or in the situation.
This is what Jesus is all about. I mean, you know, Jesus asked more questions than gave answers. There was this statistic I heard recently. Out of 160-some questions that he was asked, he only answered 3. But there was like over 300 questions that he asked.
Yeah,
I mean, he wanted to hear people. Even the person that was blind, when he asked him, what do you want? Like, come on. Everybody knows. He needed to hear the words come out of this mouth. And for me, we need to listen to people. And I don't know why we are so scared of listening to people and their stories. Unless we are not really rooted in our faith and are afraid that we will be swayed by them one way or the other, there is absolutely no reason not to listen to our enemy and to hear their story. We talk about them being humans. We talk about everybody being created in God's image. I mean, it's a shame for us that we don't listen to the stories because it is the stories of the past that shaped these people to become what they are. It is their experience. It is their understanding. When they think Christians are like this and we don't listen to their story, and we don't share our story with them, they will never know us. They will only know us by us talking to them and engaging with them.
Listening to someone's story is a risky thing because we run the risk of learning to love them. And if that happens, then of course we have to change.
Yeah.
Because if we've been fearful, if we have been bitter, if we have been hatred filled, when we hear someone else's story and we actually allow it to exist, that what they have to say has the validity of being said. It came from another human being. And we acknowledge that, then we have to adjust our frame of reference at least a little bit.
And what's interesting added to that is we might then get persecuted by our own people.
Yes, and we do.
Many people are afraid to listen to, for example, my Muslim friends. They don't want to sit with them because of this reason. If people in my community find out that I sat with him, then I would be rejected by my church, by my elders, by my denomination if I do this. And so we're more worried about these empires that we have created on this earth than really living out the kingdom that we are taught to live. But this is what we want to encourage, and we want to encourage. I mean, I'm here on your radio station encouraging your listeners. Contact me, come and meet. And when we say the living stones, you know, sometimes we refer to them only as the Christians, but meet the Muslims and meet the Jews of this land. Listen to their stories, hear their stories, share your story. Let them get to know you. And by our compassion to them, they will get to really know what our faith is really about.
Coming up next, more with today's guest, Sammy Awad.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants. To bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever. And that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
I do believe that we do come to life when we hear someone else's story, especially when it's true. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern lies from truth.
But even with that, and we could go even deeper into this, and for me, I believe that if somebody's lying, it's because they're afraid. Like when my daughters begin to lie to me, it's not about, again, judging and condemning them. They're afraid of my reaction to their truth.
Yeah.
And so even when we talk to these people, and you're right, I mean, we could discern, and the Spirit helps us. But again, we have to be careful not to go into this place. Oh, you're lying to me. I'm not going to talk to you again.
As if you are the lie.
Exactly. Exactly.
People like, do lie.
There's
we
a
sin.
Story behind that even that we need to understand. And again, this is part of the process. That's what Jesus was doing every time. Like with the Samaritan woman. I love you. There's more to that story. Let me tell you what it is.
Every encounter that Jesus has that are recorded in the Gospels to me, it seems like people were fearless in telling him their truth. Like they couldn't help but tell him, confess to him. And not just because they felt caught. It's just being in the presence of Jesus somehow brings it out of us.
He provided the listening that they needed to speak in. So much. And we actually do training in this. A lot of time we focus on the speech. You're a leader. What is the speaking that you're going to give? We actually train people in listening. The greater the space of listening that you provide, the greater the speech that will come into that space that you provide for them. So part of what we train in leadership is listening skills, not speaking skills. Everybody can speak, but not everybody can listen and really hear what is being said. And as you said, what are the words that are not being spoken? What is behind that? And that's exactly what Jesus was doing.
It's the greatest honor I have in this particular work that we do at Compassion Radio is to turn a listening ear on behalf of these thousands and thousands of people across the United States and Canada to let people tell their stories and have us to be willingly listening to them. I know we'll be changed for the better as we open our hearts and our ears up to what God has to tell us through people like Sami Awad. So the Awad family that you come from has something to tell us across all of these generations, across all of these millennia. Jesus has been alive and well in your family and in the Jewish blood that flows through your veins. As a Palestinian Christian, you are the oxymoron that we can't fathom here in the West. You should be all Palestinian. You should be all Catholic. You should be all Jewish. You should be all whatever. But instead, you are a disciple of Christ, a living stone, and you have your heritage in your very blood from all of these communities. And still, you believe that Jesus has you in this generation for a purpose, and that is to live for him, to be him in situations where peace desperately needs to be present. And I can't think of anywhere in the world right now that I would wish more peace for than the peace of Jerusalem and all of what was the greater Israel at one time and is now many states, carved up, as you said before, by many Western powers already, and now the playground of empires.
Yeah, I love you said, like when you say Jerusalem, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for Jerusalem to become a symbol of beautiful religions coming together, creating a model of the kingdom itself. And I think the church needs to play a very important role in this. Having the Christian community being a small community doesn't negate the voice that we could bring into this. Because when we look globally, the Christian voice is a very loud, beautiful voice that needs to come together and to honor the Muslims and the Jews that live in this land and to honor Jesus fully and first and bring peace into the communities there. It is sad to see so many Christians that become so one-sided when it comes to this issue, somehow even ignoring the teachings of Jesus, jumping from the Old Testament to Revelations and forgetting everything in between. And I think this is the core. This is the center of the cross. Jesus on the cross, dying for us, loving us, is what we need to focus our lives on, not achieving political agendas, ideological agendas, or theological agendas. Jesus is the only agenda that we are called to do. And many people, even in our Christian community, they said, this is too simplistic. This is exactly what it is.
Yeah,
I cannot accept anybody who says anything beyond Jesus being in the center of our lives, our mission, and our work. Anything beyond that is just decorations.
Yeah,
the center is Jesus. Unless we live the center of Jesus, we should not be talking about anything else.
And that center is found on the road, not in some place.
Yeah.
Because he's always traveling, going village to village.
Always.
So, again, we have to say that if you want to know Jesus, follow him. He will take you places, and he will put you in the presence of greatness, of his spirit bringing people to life. I was challenged, Sami, about how I pray. Because most Christians can pray about a thing or pray at a situation or a person. God, deal with this person, bring them to you, whatever. Not many of our prayers are personal ones of saying, God, help me to love my enemy. Help me to follow you in the situation. Help me to know a Muslim and love them for you. We don't say that a lot in our prayers. It's usually about the thing or them out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been challenged about that. I think back in my history with Compassion Radio, when I'm sitting in a refugee camp or I'm sitting with somebody who's being persecuted, my inclination when I met a Christian was to pray for all of the personal things that I felt very tender about. God, comfort them in there, whatever. And when I would sit down with Muslims or people who were not believers who were very curious why these Christians were coming, I tended to pray differently when I first started. And the guy was saying, why do you pray differently in the presence of somebody who has known me for a long time or claims to, and someone who doesn't know who I am at all yet? Why do you do that? And so I got kind of moved by the Spirit on that one, that I don't speak with the same kind of authority or the same kind of passion when I'm sitting down with them. That is, until I spent more time in their tents in the refugee camps, and they gave me hospitality and served me tea and told me their story.
Yeah.
Why are you here in Greece on this island after being chased out by the army in Iraq? How did you get here? How did God save you and your family as you walked across the mountains of Turkey?
Yeah.
And suddenly I felt the compassion to say, I have nothing to offer you but this Jesus that loves you, and I love you now.
Yeah.
So I pray for them as friends.
That is so beautiful. That's exactly what they want to hear as well. And we're shy and shamed from doing this. And you're right. I mean, we pray differently for different people, and I think we have to have the same prayer. And for me, the only prayer that I would pray in front of my Muslim friend, Jewish friend, or when I pray to Jesus, help me be more like you. I think this is the real only prayer. The Lord's Prayer, it's all about your kingdom coming into our lives. It's not about, you know, what we gain out of this and what they gain out of this and what happens to them, what happens to us. The more we pray to be like him, the more we have an ability and the power to transform and to heal the communities that are around us. And so we pray for others as well. But I think ultimately the biggest prayer is my prayer of healing.
Hmm.
Many Christians think that, you know, they've checked off the salvation box and they're set. That is just the beginning of a lifetime journey. And it will have the ups and it will have the downs and it will have the doubts and it will have the challenges. And the only thing that keeps us on the path of the salvation is the continuous prayer to be more and more like him every single day, seeking forgiveness and repentance when we're not like him.
I think when we receive salvation, God does hand us the beginner's kit. And in there is the Word of God and a pair of hiking boots.
That's it.
And we have to spend some time breaking those things in.
And a lot of Band-Aids.
Band-Aids. Well, Sam, it's been a pleasure to get to know you personally now. And you've had a great impact on this ministry over the years by your witness and by your life. We are honored to have you in our living rooms and in our cars as we travel around, hearing what God's doing right now in the Middle East because of people like you.
Thank you for these words. This is so encouraging.
If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants, to bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.